Our scripture verses today are a bit longer than the ones for the children, but listen first to our Old Testament lesson from the prophet Isaiah. He creates, speaking for God, he shares the vision of God's kingdom for which we all hope. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree, shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke. Mary, at this point, is pregnant, but not yet heading to Bethlehem with Joseph, and instead makes a visit to her sister Elizabeth. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This weekend and this last week has certainly been a time for hopeful travelers. If you've seen coverage or been to airports, you've no doubt seen it. Maybe in the eyes of a college student looking for parents, maybe in the laughter of grandparents greeted by preschool grandchildren in elf hats. Maybe you notice the anxious look of a lone child seeking the single parent who has him or her for this Christmas or this Thanksgiving, and maybe you see it in the hugs and kisses exchanged by people. All those travelers hope someone is coming to meet them to bring them home for Christmas. And Advent is a time that we hope somebody will meet us and bring us home, not simply to a physical home. We look towards Christmas and our spiritual home in Bethlehem. And when we get to Bethlehem again, we will hope that our Lord is there to meet us. There was a hopeful traveler in our gospel lesson this morning, Mary. Her home was in Nazareth, but shortly after hearing from the angel, Mary hightails it to the home of her relative Elizabeth in the northern, from northern Nazareth to the hill country of Judea. And Luke shares the moment with us as Mary entered Elizabeth's house and called out to a relative. We read that Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting and the child leaped in her womb. Pre-birth movements were heralding the birth of hope in Jesus Christ. An expectant parent knows that there really is nothing that compares to the feeling of a baby kicking inside a mother's womb. Jenny would call me over and say, "Quick, you'll be able to feel the baby." There was one day when our dog was napping with his head on Jenny's stomach, and suddenly his head jerked up because Jessica had kicked. It's a tangible sign of the new life that is to come. It's evidence of the fulfillment of our hopes. And so Elizabeth sang out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." In the face of Mary's anxieties, Elizabeth spoke out of biblical hope. And biblical hope is that deep inner certainty, just as real as the kick of a baby in the womb, that God will fulfill what God has spoken. Hope is the inner assurance that both in the face of human hopes and in the face of human fears, God's reign will come, God's Messiah will help bring it about, and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mary knew that the child in her womb was the hope of God's saving purpose being accomplished now within human history. She could feel the love of God becoming real within her, becoming flesh and through her life. As I said, it's a grand idea and it is in a way outrageous. The full outrageous nature of God's promise comes clearer in the vision from Isaiah that we read today. And we, the baptized, are invited always to share in that vision. Remember the scripture. Let it seep into your bones, because God speaks of a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem. The Messiah will usher in a world of rejoicing when the newness comes and that hope is fulfilled. Heaven and earth will rejoice. And it's because of that hope, not just, "Oh, I hope Mary has a nice baby," that Elizabeth was so exultant. Because heaven and earth will rejoice in that new world shaped by God. And there will be no more sound of weeping. We were told no more broken folk to whimper, no terrorized folk to cry out. Heaven and earth will rejoice because in that new world shaped by God, there will be no more infants who live but a few days, and no more old folk who die too young or live too feebly, or continue as a shell when other parts of life are gone. Heaven and earth will rejoice, because in that new world shaped by God, there will be no more taking of people's homes. Those who build will stay to inhabit. Those who plant will survive to harvest. No more being foreclosed out of homes, no more seizure by war, no more seeing big ones eating the little ones. Heaven and earth will rejoice because in that new world shaped by God, there will be, we are told, no more laboring in vain, no more nurturing children into anxiety and dread and fear, persons and families will live in well-being without jeopardy or grief. And heaven and earth will rejoice because in that new world shaped by God, God will be attentive. God will be like the parent who hears and answers an infant's cry in the night, knowing before we call who is needed and what is needed. And we shall never feel alone again. It's an outrageous picture in terms of what the world often seems to be. It's outrageous because the ways of God's new world, heralded by the Messiah, will pass judgment on so many aspects of life within the world now. It's outrageous because it is beyond our capacity, but not beyond God. In our fatigue, in our efforts at self-sufficiency, in our cynicism, we deeply oft, I think, believe that such a hope really could never come to pass. It's a poetic fantasy, and there are persistent realities of injustice, grief, and terror that go on and on within this world. But it was exactly that kind of outrageous hope that was springing to life within Mary, and that prompted Elizabeth's rejoicing. The rejoicing wasn't simply because Mary was going to have a child. It wasn't simply wishing her, you know, a nice Christmas. In Advent, we, like Mary, receive the power of God that lies beyond us. We receive it with rejoicing because in it we see the antidote to our fatigues and our frustrations and cynicism. And we should grasp that vision and that hope eagerly because it is the Lord's answer to our spirit of self-sufficiency because we are not in it on our own. Isaiah does his work, inviting us to cut free beyond ourselves and to entertain the hope which God is speaking through him. Advent is exactly the time to keep these things in our hearts and ponder this outrageous hope that set two women and an unborn child dancing in our gospel lesson this morning. The hope can be born within us by small signs like the leaping of a child inside the womb, or by Christmas lights beating back the darkness of our neighborhoods and perhaps the darkness of people's spirits at times. It can be born anew when we perform acts of righteousness and justice, when we care for children, maybe when we visit the target site for the Oasis Giving Tree. It happens when we welcome all with open arms. In other words, whenever we enact a preview of the coming attractions when the hope is fulfilled in the fullness of God's kingdom. It can come even in, not even, but also in the sounding of Christmas bells. And that's what happened to Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He wrote the poem that became a song, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." He wrote that in the year 1863 when the nation was in the grip, a deadly grip of a civil war. And in a stanza that doesn't usually get included on Christmas cards, he also wrote, "Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men." He was tempted to doubt God and give up hope and went on to write, "And in despair, I bowed my head, There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then he heard a bell. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. The hope of all of us Christmas travelers, for we are all traveling at least spiritually, that someone will come to meet them. And the one who will meet us in Bethlehem is the living Christ, the loving hope of God, entered into our world. So this Advent, let us come home to hope. Amen.